I think if I am listening to this and I'm someone that's aspiring to a comfortable, stress-free retirement, I'm going to ask myself, what assets do I have in my portfolio that do not have counterparty risk? And what assets do I have in my portfolio that they can't print? I think those are two very important questions.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Hey, we're just in the first week of March. So much is happening on the economic front. So much that gets overlooked. We're seeing gold, Bitcoin hitting record highs. We're seeing deficits, as far as the eye can see, multi-trillion dollar deficits per year. Where is it all going to end? Is this sustainable? Can it continue? What about real estate? Where are the real estate markets heading? Dennis Tvergen is with us now, well-known financial expert, author, and radio guy as well. Dennis, great to have you back on the show. Hey, how have you been?
Here, I've been great. Always a pleasure to chat with you, both on and off the official recording. So appreciate being with you.
Hey, well, we're at that special point in life, you and I, where we get to sit back a little bit, take it easy, and enjoy the fruits of our labor. And we get a front row seat on the financial insanity and geopolitical craziness that's taking place here. And look, we live in a connected world. Everything is connected. You know, if the butterfly flaps its wings down in South America, then you're going to get a hurricane in Florida. You know, everything's interconnected. As far as economy, deficit, inflation, all these good things, they're all connected here. What are you seeing?
Well, I think the first word that comes to mind, Carrie, when you start looking at some of the economic data that's being reported and has been reported, is artificial. You know, just to give an example, fourth quarter GDP increased $343 billion, according to the latest revision. That sounds like great news. But at the same time, when you look at U.S. government debt, that was up $843 billion. And as I'm sure many of our viewers, listeners are aware, when you calculate gross domestic product, government spending is part of that. So where is the economy really without this deficit spending that is on track for probably $2 trillion this year would be my guess. That's before an election year giveaway, which I would also expect. So, you know, we have artificial growth in GDP. I think the real economy is contracting. And I think, you know, if the government was forced to operate with a balanced budget, we would be in a severe recession at this point. And, you know, I'm not convinced we're not there.
Hey, so Dennis, you know, like when Bernie Madoff was booming, when business was booming, he was a positive contributor to the GDP numbers, right? And then when he blew up, he was a negative contributor to the GDP numbers. I mean, it's all just a Ponzi scheme, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it really is. And, you know, I just did a piece on my radio show that asked, is this growth or is it cash flow? I mean, if I make $100,000 a year, that's my personal GDP. If I go borrow another $100,000, my cash flow looks great. But did my personal GDP just go to $200,000? Or did I just increase my cash flow by $100,000 at the expense of my future GDP? And that's exactly what we have here is a Ponzi scheme. And Ponzi schemes, you know, by their very nature, eventually explode. They implode, I should say, because you've got to find new people to lend us money. And then that well will run dry.
Hey, could you imagine if Bernie Madoff had access to a printing press? He'd still be at it.
Yeah, and undoubtedly making big political contributions with the printing press proceeds.
That's for sure. Hey, so interest rates, you know, they stabilized a bit, then they went down a little bit, then they went back up a bit. But long term, they've got to go up, don't they?
Well, I think so. I mean, if you take a look at the level of debt the U.S. government has, I read an amazing statistic, Gary. I guess I knew it, but not necessarily. I haven't really put it in these terms. U.S. government debt increases $1 trillion every 100 days. When you think about it, that's unfathomable. Now, when you think about every 100 days at 5% interest, having to finance another $1 trillion, that's $50 billion this gets added to just servicing the debt, the new debt, every 100 days. So over the course of a year, that's $150 billion. And, you know, we've got a snowball rolling downhill. And, you know, the bigger it gets, the bigger it gets. So at some point, this has to blow up.
Yeah, I would think the only surprise to me, quite frankly, Dennis, is that it's taken as long as it has.
Well, Kerry, if I were to have guessed timing, I would have been wrong several times in the past as well. I mean, I just don't. It's just hard to fathom the fact that, no, I think interest costs on U.S. government debt are in excess of $1 trillion a year. To put that in perspective for our listeners, Social Security, I think by the latest report, was underfunded by $61 trillion, and the annual outlay for Social Security is only $1.35 trillion. So interest on the debt is very closely approaching what the entire outlay for Social Security is. That is a crazy, crazy number.
Yeah, that is. That is insane. And especially since I started collecting it recently, maybe I should just do full retirement and get the most I can because this thing's going to blow up, or do I wait till I'm 70? I mean, that's a question I have, Dennis, and many of you out there have that question. Do you early retire at 62 if you can do it, if you have no income? Or do you, then you might need to, or do you do it at your full retirement age, which right now is, I think, close to 67? What are you supposed to do here?
Well, I mean, it's a great question. I think ultimately it depends on what the policy response is. Under normal circumstances, I mean, I've looked at Social Security. I'm not old enough to collect it yet. I have age 70 in my sights. Ultimately, if the federal government continues to operate with these huge deficits, which it appears, as you said at the outset, it appears this is going to be the policy for as far as the eye can see. If that's the case, then I think you've got to have the Fed go back and become the lender of last resort. Christopher Waller, the Fed governor last week, just kind of dropped a quiet bombshell saying, hey, the Fed has to get rid of more mortgage-backed securities, and what we need to do is add more short-term U.S. treasuries to our portfolio. I found that was interesting, given that this emergency bank lending program that was put in place a year ago expires March 11. So now all these emergency funds are going to dry up, and the timing was quite interesting that the Fed now says we need to add to our short-term U.S. Treasury holdings. So, yeah, you know, I think the Fed has not quit creating currency. They can't go back and use the term quantitative easing because it would incriminate them. But I think essentially that's what's going to happen. So I believe Social Security, to get back to that point, I think you're going to collect your benefits. I just think they're going to buy a lot less than they do today. And given this policy, I don't see how we avoid a highly or hyperinflationary outcome.
Yeah, well, arguably in places like New York, they're already having it. So not to get into the political thing about, you know, the former president or the current occupant of the White House, because this is a family show after all, right? But when you look at like the truckers strike there, boycott of New York City, and I don't know, you know, you can't believe the media because they lie about everything, but it certainly appears something's happening in New York. They're already close to hyperinflation. The taxes are out of control. They just put a congestion tax. You drive into the city, you get taxed. Where does New York City wind up in all this?
You know, there is, it's, you know, we were talking about this. It's interesting how the red states are getting redder and more populated. The blue states seem to be getting bluer and less populated. So I think that tells you, you know, where the American people are. So where does New York end up? You know, I think the situation just gets worse. But, the truckers are a great example. You can't do what you did to President Trump. You know, love Trump or hate Trump, Trump's got a rabid following, and they're standing up and saying, look, it's time we do something. And I think you're seeing more and more of that. Personally, I think that that's what's going to take. I mean, to quote another news item, I thought it was interesting. The new president of Argentina balanced the budget and had a surplus 9 weeks after entering office. I think we need an Argentina moment, and as painful as that would be, it's going to be a lot less painful than, you know, enduring this hyperinflationary outcome that I think is inevitable if we continue on this path.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly economic collapse on the horizon. And I'm sure you've been watching gold. As we're speaking, gold is up $17 the ounce today on the spot market at $21.44, all-time record highs. It doesn't look like anything is standing in its way of making more highs, does it?
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it before we started this interview. It actually hit 21.55, so evidently it's pulled back a little bit. And Bitcoin also all-time new highs. Bitcoin at about 66,000. So what does that tell you about people looking for alternatives to the U.S. dollar? And you know, another interesting story, you've got a lot of insider selling going on in the U.S. stock market. You've got Bezos selling, I think, $4 billion of Amazon stock. You've got Jamie Dimon, I think for the first time ever, unloading some of JP Morgan Chase stock. You've got Zuckerberg selling stock. So are they concerned about the stock market, or are they diversifying out of U.S. dollars? I don't know the answer to that. They don't talk to me. Yeah. But given what you see happening with gold and Bitcoin, I think it's a fair question.
I think it's a very fair question, and I'd like to know the answer to it, honestly. Something is afoot. And we've got all these awful geopolitical trends taking place. All of this is happening here before our very eyes. And, you know, you got to wonder, is there a trend? Is there something happening here that we're not seeing?
Well, and you know, there's just crazy headlines. You may remember back in the day, you know, when I was 20 years old, I didn't have the money to afford a nice car. But I want to have a nice car because girls like nice cars. And I would go through and peruse the used car ads, and they would say, take over payments for this car. People got themselves upside down in cars, and they just wanted somebody to relieve the burden. Well, now you're seeing office buildings presently being sold the same way. The Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board recently sold their interest in a Manhattan office tower development. You probably saw it for $1, just take over payments. What does that tell you about some, obviously, they must be pretty savvy, astute people running a pension fund, and they say, you know what? Take over payments. We just want out. Well, what does that tell you about the future of commercial real estate? You know, we've got so much debt on the public balance sheets, so much debt in the private sector, that we're going to have some type of a forced debt jubilee, because this, not all this debt can be paid. And I think these are symptoms that we're now maybe seeing the beginning of that forced jubilee process.
I think you're right. And what choice do we really have other than a jubilee, Dennis?
Well, I mean, the math is the math. So I'm reminded, I live in Michigan. I'm reminded of when the city of Detroit declared bankruptcy. And I interviewed people on my radio show that were debating whether or not federal law would supersede state law, or state law would supersede.
I remember that.
Yeah. So it's like, who's going to get paid? Well, maybe I'm not the smartest guy in the world, Gary, but I happen to know if there's no money in the checkbook, somebody's not going to get paid. And that's really where we are. So there's too much debt to be paid. We know it won't be paid. So that is deflationary in nature. And the Federal Reserve's response to government debt has been creating currency. So, you know, I'm looking for a stagflationary environment. I think we're going to see a decline in the value of things we own for the most part, with probably, you know, gold, silver, and those types of things being the exception, maybe some types of real estate. And I think we're going to see more inflation in the consumer items that we have to buy.
Yeah, well, hey, even if the inflation rate goes down to 2 or 3%, it's still 20% higher than it was a few years ago. So you're still paying 20% more. And, you know, the middle class in these cases, Dennis, always playing catch up, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the statistics, I recently read a report. It read more like propaganda to me, but I'll call it a report.
Imagine that.
And it said that, you know, despite inflation, wages have kept pace with inflation. Well, that's if you use the official inflation rate as measured by the Consumer Price Index. But you and I both know that is a completely bogus, completely manipulated number. You know, there's hedonic adjustments, there's substitution adjustments, there's weighting adjustments. And, you know, bureaucrats can change the weightings, change the substitutions to arrive at whatever number really they want to arrive at. And the bottom line is, when you've got 67% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck, I think was the last number that I saw, and personal debt in every category, credit card debt, auto debt, mortgage debt, all up in the fourth quarter, you know what people are doing to make ends meet. They're adding to debt, and that is not a sustainable situation. And that's where I think you're starting to see a lot of these signs that we're getting close to this moment of reckoning.
All right. So in every, like the old Chinese character for crisis, danger, and opportunity, we're in a dangerous time period now. Where are the opportunities?
Well, I am a big fan of precious metals at this point. I think gold and silver both have a lot of upside. I recently interviewed John Rubino, who wrote a book with James Turk 11, 12 years ago called The Money Bubble, What to Do Before It Pops. It was really a prophecy. But John just was talking about the fact that here's a way that silver quickly gets to over $100 an ounce. And it had to do with not only monetary policy, but really industrial demand versus mining output. There's a lot more industrial demand now than there is mining output. And if you look at gold, look at the last two gold bull markets, and we see 700 to 800% as being the top to bottom movement. This started at, let's call it a little over 1,000. We're now at about 2,000. So I think you'll see gold go to $7,000 or $8,000 if it only does what it did in past bull markets. I would argue the current situation is more extreme. And you might see a guy like Jim Rickards who said 15,000. You know, that wouldn't surprise me either. So I think if I am listening to this and I'm someone that's aspiring to a comfortable, stress-free retirement, I'm going to ask myself, what assets do I have in my portfolio that do not have counterparty risk? And what assets do I have in my portfolio that they can't print? I think those are two very important questions.
And maybe that they can't steal when things get really desperate, because governments have been known to confiscate wealth. I mean, when things get really bad, it's happening in China right now as we speak. And that's the 800-pound gorilla. As bad as it is in the United States, we do have a record 200 years of dealing with financial crises. And maybe this is the worst one ever, but the country has actually dealt with it, has a structure in place to deal with these crises. Maybe we don't like the way they deal with them, but the show goes on. In China, it's kind of like they only learned how to drive, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Worst drivers on the planet, because they just don't have the knowledge base. And it's the same with their economy. They have no idea what to do. They had the largest asset bubble, asset class in the world, which was real estate, $60 trillion asset that's now worth probably about $9 trillion. But it's the emperor has no clothes. Nobody wants to admit that the, Warren Buffett, you don't know who's skinny dipping until the tide goes out, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, speaking of China, I mean, you could recognize this bubble. I want to say it's 8 or 9 years ago when,
oh, yeah,
we know they're building cities nobody lives in, factories nobody works in, and they're passing laws that say if you're a family, you can only own two pieces of real estate. And there was this cottage industry in China that popped up that would give you and your spouse a fake divorce certificate so you could buy four pieces of real estate instead of two. That is absolute lunacy, isn't it? It's borderline psychotic, and yet that tells you that's bubble behavior. That happens at the top of every bubble.
Hey, you know, like this could be a good TV show where the couple gets divorced and they buy real estate, and then the wife said, but we didn't really mean it. And the husband said, yes, we did. Goodbye. And then he leaves and moves to the U.S. But hey, we got to wrap up now, but your top three picks for 2024?
Top three picks, investment-wise?
Yes.
I'll say number one, silver, number two, gold, number three, agricultural real estate.
Love it. All right, Dennis, just tell us where we find you. How do we get your book and how we connect with you on the web?
You can go to revenuesourcingbook.com. My best-selling book from 2020 has been revamped, rewritten for 2024. If you go to revenuesourcingbook.com, I'd be glad to send you a copy. You can also check out my podcast, on any place there's podcasts, Spotify, Apple.
All right.
Any place there are, Retirement Lifestyle Advocates Radio.
All right. Very cool. Thanks so much for coming by, Dennis. We'll talk to you again real soon. Be well.
Enjoyed it, Gary. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Cary Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.